Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We had a TV crew in yesterday filming part of the show, and they put a green gel. It's a green filter on the glass behind me because I have a studio here with a window behind me that looks out on a parking lot. And not that a parking lot's the greatest thing, but at least I can see sunshine and houses, and you know that you're part of the world. And this filter they've put on the window has cast a green hue in the room and on the face of Craig Taylor and my own. We both look sick. And not only that, but it's doing something to my eyes. It's like I'm hungover, but I feel fine. Except I'm losing my vision. I'm going blind. You better not take it. They're going to be back on Monday, and they need that green thing back up. Plus, they lift about, what do you say, $30,000 worth of camera equipment in there? So, yeah, take it down. Let's sell the cameras. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. The Federal Aviation Administration ordered discount carrier ProAir. Oh, my God, not that. To halt all flights? Well, that looks like my trip to Nepal's off. ProAir? Well, enough people fly ProAir beginning today because of serious aircraft safety problems that this three-year-old airline failed to perform scheduled engine maintenance, failed to repair dents, did not address other safety concerns. Also, 737, Boeing 737 jets have been questioned, I think, by the FAA in terms of rudder design. And as the, there's never really an end to the traveling season because it's either the summer traveling season or the Thanksgiving or the holiday or the Christmas or et cetera, et cetera. From Santa Monica Airport, we have on the line with us, going to be talking here in just a second to Art Griego. And Art is a, okay, hold on for a minute because I got no... All right, there he is. Art, are you with us, man?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, I'm sorry, because I didn't think we had you. Art, you've been flying for how long?
Phil, I've been flying commercially for the last 15 years, mostly private planes.
Now, you brought this 737 story to my attention. The 737 having, the Boeing 737 having some design problems?
Well, for 12 years, I've written letters to Boeing and to the FAA about design problems on the 737. This situation today from the Federal Aviation Administration having to do with ProAir is just one problem I think the 737 has.
What specifically?
Well, first off, and this is very basic, and again, 12 years worth of letters, 12 years worth of phone calls, and talking to so many other people, they're talking about a rudder design problem on the 737. I think any school child understands that a rudder is something that belongs primarily on a boat. And if you look at any picture, if you look at any photograph of any seagoing craft, you see that it has a rudder. An airplane, you don't think of as something that has a rudder. And for them to put one on a 737, I think, in my opinion, is murderous and can murder millions of air travelers. And
all right, so the first design problem would be this: the existence of a rudder?
That is correct.
Because I'm not specifically clear on that. Why?
Have you ever been on a boat? I'm sure you have. Most of us have.
Yeah, I grew up around boats.
Then you know that first it's a sailboat, so I know you're a sailor, right?
Yeah, my father had a sailboat.
All right, that has a rudder that's attached to a tiller.
Right, you pull the tiller one way and the boat goes one way or the other way.
Correct. That's something that a boat has, not an airplane. And I think that the individuals who put a rudder on an airplane should be indicted for cold-blooded murder and for the slaughter of billions. And I think that that's gone. Now, I think also a plane, the other thing is that thousands of people have died over the years because of rudder design, and so much of that is a design problem. I also think it's time for us to look at the possibility that...
All right, well, to interrupt for a moment here, Art.
Go ahead.
The fact that airplanes have rudders is a design problem because rudders should only be on boats.
That's correct. If you look at boats, most boats have rudders. Some have props, but you do need rudders. And I think this is...
Was this a design problem from the beginning, or...?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't do it. To go along with wings. We've never needed wings on aircraft. Now, this is something a little bit more controversial because the aircraft, the highest level of air travel that we've achieved, obviously, Phil, is space travel.
Correct.
All right, it's space travel, whether it be the lunar landing, whether it be the Mars landing, or whether it be space station construction and orbiting exploration. We've never needed wings on any aircraft, and yet we have insisted on putting them on aircraft that we fly.
Well, what about the space shuttle?
That again, is a design problem, and I predict because the space shuttle has wings, we're going to see the horrible death of the shuttle crew very soon.
And all right, hold on, man, because you're throwing a whole lot of stuff at us here. You're saying that rudders belong on boats and that it is a basic design problem that a 737 has a rudder.
That is correct, and a school child can tell you that. 12 years worth of writing letters to Boeing and the FAA.
But the more important, and I think the more controversial of your suggestions, is that aircraft should not have wings. And I think anybody...
Phil, we do not need wings.
No, I hear what you're saying. We've been able to get into space without winged aircraft. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And we have been able to land on the moon, and we have used robot ships to land on Mars, and we have never done it with a fixed wing or a double wing or a single wing aircraft. We have landed on the moon and on Mars with vehicles that have anything but wings.
And I mentioned the space shuttle, and you say that's going to...
Wings are for birds, rudders are for boats, and you mentioned the space shuttle, Phil. I think that is an accident waiting to happen.
All right, we're talking with Art Griego, who has spent a few years trying to get design problems corrected on the 737. Now, they're grounding the jets of Pro Air today because of serious safety problems. They also decided that three Boeing 737 jets... the three that they operate should be grounded. And there was some question as to the rudder design. And that's what they're talking about, that the 737's rudder design...
Well, I go a step further, though. I don't think it should have a rudder at all. And the idiots, I mean the absolute idiots, that are trying to tell me and other pilots that, well, we've got a rudder design problem, I have said to them, and I continue to say to them, it is a rudder problem... The fact that it's on the airplane in the first place, okay? It's not a design problem. Planes don't have rudders. Even my daughter knows that. When she was in the bathtub, I tell you how I got the idea. My daughter was in the bathtub. Justin, hold on for a minute, Phil. I'm in the hangar.
And you're at Santa Monica Airport.
Yes, I am. My daughter was in the bathtub about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. We just had Casey, and she was pushing around a little boat with a rudder on it. And that's what I said to my wife, that obviously it's the problem with the 737. It's got a rudder. It's not a boat. And
all right, getting back to the wing situation. Airplanes should not have wings.
We don't need wings on airplanes. We have proven that we can travel with aircraft that have no wings. We've done that with the Mercury rocket. We've done that with the Redstone. We've done that with the Saturn. We have done that with the landers that I previously mentioned. Why do we have wings on airplanes? All they do is create serious instability. The Wright brothers were here, but we have, you know, the Wright brothers were here. We're here, we would have had motors and engines, but wings and rudders are killing us. And you look at the rockets we use, the very rocket that puts the space shuttle into space doesn't have wings on it. That's what I'm talking about. And so a lot of this...
All right, what were you saying about the Wright brothers?
I'm saying that the Wright brothers... We needed them to get into the air, but we don't need them any longer.
So we needed them to get into the air, and...
That's correct, and I can only tell you, speak for a lot of pilots... So
hold on for a minute. We needed them to begin to learn how to fly, but we don't need them anymore.
No, we do not. No, we do not.
Okay.
And I think I speak for a lot of pilots, probably most pilots and aviators, when I tell you that rudders and wings are probably the two things we ought to look at getting rid of if we hope to save any amount of human life in the air. And I will tell you something else, Phil. I lost a very dear friend a few years ago. It was a beautiful Sunday morning. I'll never forget. It was October the 12th. The year was 1997. And I had arisen from bed. I was reading the sports page. And I found out that a guy that we all knew had died. A guy by the name of John Dusseldorf. Maybe you knew him as Johnny D. I knew him as John Denver. He died on October 12, 1997, because he was flying in something with not only a wing, but a rudder, and it had propellers. And I will tell you, that's what murdered my friend John Denver. And
but wait. That was a plan that he had put together himself. Some people...
What murdered John Denver was the fact that that plane had wings and a rudder and a propeller. And it...
Yeah, but wasn't the plane substandard?
Yes, it was substandard because of having a propeller and wings. If there were no wings on that airplane, Johnny D would be alive today.
And hold on for a minute. Art Griego is with us from the airport. He is a professional pilot. And he proposes that the main problem with 737 is that it has a rudder. Rudders should only be on boats. We're all familiar with the fact that boats have rudders, but do aircraft need them? He also is proposing that we no longer need wings on airplanes because we are achieving space travel in vehicles without wings. And now he's saying that John Denver died because his plane also had a propeller, which is dangerous, I guess, according to Mr. Griego. We'll be back with Art Griego. It's the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. Phil Henry Show, and we're talking with Art Griego, who's a private pilot. We're talking about the problems with a 737. There was some rudder design problem that the FAA pointed out. One of the airlines, Pro Air, has had its flights halted because there's a problem with the 737 there. They failed to perform scheduled engine maintenance. And I don't know whether the 737 specifically has a problem, Art, or whether you're saying that all aircraft do, as long as they use rudders.
I believe so, Phil, because I think that rudders are what's killing the human beings up there and wings.
And you mentioned propellers.
That is correct. The propeller is probably the single most dangerous the single most dangerous aspect of aircraft. A propeller can cut a man in half. A propeller, you can lose your arms, you can lose your limbs to a propeller. It absolutely boggles my mind that anybody would want to have wings, a propeller, or a rudder on an aircraft.
All right, let me go to West Palm Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yes, I've been listening to the discussion by the other gentleman.
You're on with Art Griego?
Yes, hello, sir.
Yes, sir. I've been listening to the discussion with a fellow who thinks that airplanes shouldn't have wings or a rudder.
Yes, sir.
And,
that's me, sir.
Okay. Well, I've been a pilot and a flight instructor for the last 45 years or so.
Yes, sir.
And don't quite understand what you're suggesting as an alternative.
I'm saying right now we have the alternative because we have achieved the pinnacle of air travel, which is space flight, in aircraft that does not have a wing, does not have propellers, simply can, is able to achieve locomotion through our airspace.
Well, that's done by changing thrust. And
exactly.
that thrust will allow that thing to kind of take off like a rocket.
You're a pilot, though, sir, and you know as well as I do that when I look out and I see wings on the side of an airplane, I am in complete and utter fear till I land.
Well, what would you suggest an alternative for medium-sized and light aircraft to allow them to fly in our atmosphere?
That's a good question. What?
Well, I think, first of all, Phil, we have to change thrust ratios. I believe we need to develop power ratio and engine and pure horsepower to begin to propel these craft at speeds that are going to, A, make air travel a much more sensible way of traveling in terms of time spent traveling, and, B, make it a safer flight. So if we can get rid of propellers and put some kind of rocket style or land rocket engine on private planes.
All right, so what you're proposing is let's take a private plane, get the propeller off of it, put a rocket engine into it, and take the wings off of it.
Well, I can tell propellers are dangerous. That's why we yell clear out of the window before we power up, so people know the prop is about to start spinning and could cut a man's head clean off.
Well, the man is right. Propellers are dangerous, but rockets are dangerous, too.
Do you yell clear? Do you yell clear when you're starting up a
propeller? Oh, I certainly do, and not only do I...
Right. You're GD right, my friend. I do the same thing.
Not only do I yell there, but I look very carefully to make sure there's nobody there.
Right,
but I can see in front of my airplane and make sure the propeller is clear.
Otherwise,
if we're using rockets behind the airplane, it's a lot harder to determine that there's nobody standing behind my rocket-assisted takeoff.
Well, you can get out and look and then get back in. But what I would suggest respectfully is if you can see a man's head fly off. Can you please put your... Can I ask you a question, sir?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
I'm 65.
God bless you and the great men who have flown. Are you all right?
Am I alive?
Are you all? I know you're alive, sir. Are you all right?
I'm okay, I think.
If you're doing okay.
I think somebody else would have to make that decision, but
I think you're doing fine.
So I'm all right.
Okay. Do you do dental?
What are you asking him?
If his teeth are your own, or are they? Is it a bridge?
Do I own a bridge? No, I own an airplane, and I'm a flight instructor. I've taught a whole bunch of people how to fly through the years.
Right. Do you have a bridge in your mouth right now, I guess is what I was asking.
No, I don't have a bridge
in my mouth. Forgive me. I was having a hard time.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
I just want to determine that.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much for your expertise. We do appreciate that. In West Palm Beach?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Mission Viejo on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Indiana Jones movie when that German guy walked into that prop. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, that was gruesome.
You better believe it. You don't want to just take a stroll into a prop.
All right, here is Mission Viejo. Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
I've been listening to Art Graco, and I couldn't disagree with him more. I've been in aviation over 50 years now.
You're willing to make the statement that airplanes need wings.
They definitely need wings, and
okay.
They need a rudder. And
better you than me, brother, because I can tell you they're unnecessary.
Well, they absolutely are necessary. First of all, you need a rudder on an airplane.
Why do you need wings?
Well, you need wings.
You're proposing, Art, that we don't need wings or a propeller or rudders on it.
That's correct. I'm asking the gentleman, point of fact, tell me why we need wings on an airplane.
Well, we need wings for a myriad of reasons. On a large transport aircraft, we need wings to keep the power plant out away from the fuselage.
All right, if that's true, why did John Denver's plane crash?
Well, wait a minute, that's a different issue. Let me
explaining
why we need the wings.
John Denver's plane had wings, am I correct?
John Denver's airplane had nothing to do with that. His problem was with a fuel selector valve.
Okay.
He couldn't reach it. It was behind his left shoulder.
There you go. So though he had wings, even though he had a propeller,
had a rudder,
he crashed.
Well, wait a minute. The man's saying it had nothing to do with the wings.
But he had wings.
To do with the wings. The reason John Denver crashed, if you want to isolate it to a particular reason, first of all, John Denver shouldn't have been flying. Shouldn't have been flying because his license was revoked by the FAA.
He shouldn't have
been in the airplane to begin with. Secondly,
what about Patsy Cline? Her plane had wings.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? John Kennedy Jr.'s plane had wings. You see?
I'd like to hear from the man. You're interrupting a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The wings also is a practical place to store fuel. In other words,
can behind the seat. I don't get what you're saying.
I'm talking about 747. The wing is a fuel tank.
You put that behind the pilot's seat?
Behind the pilot's seat?
Yeah.
Because you're talking about 250,000 pounds of fuel in there. You're not
going to
put it behind the pilot's seat.
You can't get that in the can.
You can't get that.
I'm not a commercial pilot. I don't know.
No, you can't put that in a can behind the pilot's seat.
No, you're looking at an airplane that has a range of...
So you believe we need propellers?
5,000-6,000 hours. Well, you need a thrust device. If it's not a propeller,
right.
A fan jet is essentially a jet engine with a high-speed propeller on top of it.
All right,
not financially feasible to put rocket engines in commercial airplanes.
Okay, that's two opinions. We need wings, a rudder, and a propeller. Let me ask the question before you do, Art.
What's that?
Do you think we need gasoline for these airplanes, sir?
Oh, don't be stupid, Phil.
Well, I mean, what you're saying sounds about as ridiculous. Do we need wings? Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego is with us. He believes that wings, propellers, and whatever the other thing was, it's killing people on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. With the controversy around 737s being grounded from Pro Air today and some question about rudder design, we have a pilot on the line with us, Art Griego. He's in Santa Monica. He's talking to us about the possibility that the basic design of aircraft itself is wrong. And we're talking about the... Art, you could just restate what you were saying?
Yeah, Phil. What I'm basically saying is that... we have no need for wings, propellers, we don't have...
Can you hear me?
No, I'm having a difficult time hearing you, Phil.
Okay, you were saying that that we have no need...
Right, we have no need for wings, propellers, or rudders. And
well, you got a lot of pilots who think that they need wings.
You don't. You don't need wings. And I'll tell you something. If you want to see more people die, then put wings on airplanes. Now, I have, I'm at Santa Monica Airport. One of the reasons why I can't hear you, Phil, is I was inside the hangar. I rolled my Cessna 172 out, and I had it on the runway, and I had them take the wings off and the propeller and the rudder. And I'm going to try to, I'll get airborne here in a few minutes. And tell you,
wait a minute. You took the wings, the propeller, and the rudder off of your craft.
That's correct.
And you think you're going to get up in the air?
I know I'm going to get up in the air. And I know I'm going to live. And for the first time, I will be flying. I will be flying with the knowledge that I'm going to live. Because as much as I love to fly, every time I take off in an aircraft, I fear death more than anything. I can feel death's cold breath on my neck. But because I've removed the wings, the prop, and the rudder from my airplane, I know I'm going to live.
All right, let's go to Oregon on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yes. My name's Dave Saunders.
How you doing, Dave? Art Griego here, Santa Monica, California.
I taught aeronautics for many years. You cannot take an airplane up in the air without wings.
I disagree.
You can't get any lift. How are you going to get lift?
Well, I'll tell you how you get lift. How do we get to the moon? We didn't have wings on that.
Well, yeah, but we were going straight up. We weren't going on level 4.
Well, I propose that we begin to... Excuse me, I'm having...
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I just had car phone trouble. I propose that we begin taking off straight up.
Then what are you going
Dave,
to
do? Do you hear me, Dave?
I hear you.
I think we should start taking off straight up.
All right, that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, there you go.
Then how are you going to level that plane off and stay in level flight?
You begin to decelerate. The plane begins to level off.
It won't level off without wings.
Certainly it'll level off.
It will not level off without wings.
How do you know? Have you ever taken off straight
up? Yes.
You've taken off straight up in the air? No, you
no,
haven't.
I'm not going to go straight up in the air.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. And I feel so confident.
Wait a minute. Now, you've taken the wings off your Cessna. And
yes, I have.
All right, you're at Santa Monica Airport right now?
Yes, I am.
All right, and you've taken the wings off and the propeller and the rudder.
That is correct.
And I have to know anything. He doesn't know anything about aeronautics. You cannot fly without wings.
Well, Dave, I would suggest that you're wrong because you've never tried it.
Oh, I'm not going to try it. I want to stay with wings so I can...
I'd like to ask you to join me in this pioneering spirit and begin flying without wings.
I won't be with you.
Well, are you a pilot, sir?
Yes.
Dave, do you own your own aircraft?
Not anymore. I'm 92 years old. I don't fly anymore.
All right, sir. I would suggest, you sound like you probably flew during the day, maybe perhaps double-wing planes, perhaps?
There's no point in talking any further about it. I'm an aeronautics expert. I taught it for years.
I'm telling you, Dave, would you believe me if I told you that I can do it? I'll prove it to you right now.
Have you ever done it before?
I'm going to try it right now.
Wait a minute. If you've never done this before, don't try it.
No. I'm going to, I'm inside the cockpit right now of my Cessna. Let me try and fire it up right now.
I'm going to get it to go.
All right, you can hear the engine very clearly.
What engine? Where's your propeller?
Can you hear the engine? Oh,
yes,
it just cut out. It just cut out. Hold on for a minute. Let me try it again.
What kind of an engine is it?
It's a Buick.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, is that a problem?
A Buick?
A Buick? That's ridiculous.
No, I'm just joking around with you, Dave. It just cut out again. All right, let's try it one more time. I swear to God, this is going to be a great moment. Go.
Yeah, that is. I'm sorry I won't be able to come to the funeral.
Here I go, Dave. One, two, three, and, shoot. I got a problem.
You bet you have.
What do you think it is? Can you help me out?
The problem is that you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I think I can do this. Let me try it one more time. One, two, three, and... Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Ah, shoot.
Well, let me ask a question.
Yes, sir.
You say you're going straight
what is...
up.
I've got the plane pointed straight up, yeah. It's
okay.
Very uncomfortable right now.
All right. Then you're going to go straight up.
Yeah.
And when you get up to a certain level, you're going to do what?
I will begin to decelerate. And at that point, as I decelerate, the nose, because of the weight, will begin to drop forward.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You turn right around, and your nose, being the heavier part of the plane, will go straight down and bury you in the ground, and you won't have to go to a funeral.
All right. You may have a point, but what I'm trying to do is I got to work that out.
You sure have, because it won't work.
Let me explain to you. Hold on. Come on, baby. Prove it to Dave. I know I can do it.
I think you're going to hurt yourself.
Shut up, Henry. Okay, come on. Die it out again. Look, Dave, when the nose dips, I fire the engine back up and I continue flight.
Impossible.
Impossible, huh?
Yes.
That's exactly what they said to Christopher Columbus. Okay,
yeah,
Dave.
But he wasn't flying airplanes.
Well, they said it was impossible, though.
What was impossible for him?
That he could sail a ship.
Well, that's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
They said that to the Wright brothers, too.
Well, the Wright brothers succeeded.
Well, that's
a good
point.
Do you know why?
That's a good point.
Let me ask
you a
question.
Let's try it one more time. Here we go. Oh, please let me fly.
Phil?
That's a pile of crap.
You know what? I think you're going to wind up killing yourself going straight up.
Phil?
Yes, sir.
The purpose of a wing is to provide lift. This is according to the Bernoulli principle.
The Bernoulli principle?
The air passing over a surface, if the upper
surface... Come on,
baby. Let me explain this to you.
Come on, baby.
Let me explain why you have to have wings.
Yeah, go ahead.
You have to have wings.
Try another fuel ratio on that.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
You have to have wings because...
3-to-1 fuel ratio.
I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
You have to have wings because the airfoil, the wing is an airfoil.
Gotta be able to get up off the ground now. This is the one. You know what? Maybe if I tried a real airplane engine, because I've got a Buick in it right now.
Hey, I'm
a Buick engine isn't gonna get you off the... All right, thank you, sir, for your call. Art,
I'm telling you, people will die, Phil, as long as airplanes have wings.
Right. Yeah, you're right, because they're still going to have plane crashes. 1-800-449... Will you knock it off with that thing? 1-800-449-8686.
Come on, baby.
Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show. We did have some TV cameras in here yesterday, and I don't know. I heard. Believe me, I'm not a guy who has a high opinion of his own looks. In fact, because fortunately I have a successful radio show, I don't really need to have a TV show, and so it didn't really matter to me what I looked like yesterday as we were doing a little filming in here. But I heard from people that I looked pretty good on the tube. My fat face looked okay, you know? In fact, I heard some raves from the crew and from some of the other people who were here. You know, you look really good on TV. Now, these are people who got no reason to bullcrap me. So I was thinking, could it be, is it possible that I'll be the first guy in the history of radio to get a TV show and look good doing one? Like, actually look camera-friendly? Because maybe the whole... key to success is not wanting it and not pressing and just having somebody drop a TV show in your lap and you could give a crap and you're so relaxed, you look great. Now, what would make me look good on television? I have no idea. I'm bald and fat, and there you go. And I was wearing a black sweater, too, which I don't think is my best color, especially when your skin is pasty Irish white. So, who knows? Anyway, driving in here today, I wanted to, first of all, thank all of you who've moved from the East Coast to California, because one of the reasons why I was late walking into the office is because nobody who works here at the building that I work in, where Premier Radio is located, nobody here knows how to park a car between those white lines that they paint on the cement for a reason. And the reason is that's where you put your car in between. And if you can't get your car in between there, that means that the next poor schlub that tries to get his car into that space, now he has to deal with trying to get out of his car. Because you didn't get your car in between the white lines. You put your car over the white lines because we're all supposed to respect your BMW? Or whatever the thing is, right? I swear to God, there were two slots that were wide open on the roof of the parking structure today as I pulled in, and I couldn't get my car into either one of those. I got the car in, but I couldn't get out. I couldn't open the door without banging the dude's door next to me and basically shearing off my manhood, trying to get out of the car, shearing off hundreds of pounds of flesh, trying to get out of that car and out onto the street, because these dudes are from back east and don't know how to put their cars into a parking slot. How do you know they're from back east, Phil? Because I just came from Miami, 3 years there, and as much as I love that town, there isn't a human being in Miami that knows how to drive or park a car. It ain't California, because I grew up in this town, and quite frankly, having lived many other places, people drive pretty good out here. I realize it may sound like a load of crap because I live here. I'm telling you the truth. People drive in California, on average, better than the rest of the country. They use turn signals, for starters, which is unknown to the rest of the world. They generally go with the flow of traffic in a safe manner. I'm not saying people keep within the speed limit. I'm saying they go with the flow of traffic in a safe manner. They know how to merge. They know how to exit a lane. They generally know how to merge onto a freeway and get off a freeway. And for the most part, they know how to drive. Because when you go to a city like Miami, Minneapolis, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Georgia, you encounter individuals who spend just as much money as we do, perhaps more. As a matter of fact, the cars, the rides in South Florida are on average better than the ones you see here. Much nicer. Much nicer. They spend $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 for an automobile, which, fine, you want to spend that much money for a car that ultimately is going to get keyed, dinged, have a fender hanging off of it, have the tires punctured by somebody too irate to even show their face because you don't know how to park the car, and every other, and a cheap-ass window tinting job to go along with it. Hey, that's it's your money. You go right ahead and spend a couple hundred G's on an Italian import, that Ferrari, and then drive it like a complete moron out there on those expressways that are not kept up very well because they got no state money to put into it, and then don't park it. For God's sake, don't park the thing between two white lines. Just let it spill over a little bit into that other lane so that the guy who pulls in, who doesn't have a car anywhere near as much as yours in terms of value, will have no problem opening his door right into yours. Anyway, if it sounds like I'm angry, it's only because I had to go back down through the parking structure and look for a place to park. Nobody, forget about Miami and back east. I don't know why I got off on that tangent. It's the idiots that live out here. They don't know how to park a car. I can't get into this parking structure. They want me to use something called a valet. I'm not using the valet here. I'm not waiting for Charlie to get my car. I want to park it. But I go into this thing, and I get here about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Which means there's a lot of cars there, but that's fine. There's generally two or three slots available. Now, if I had that Humvee that I was going to buy last summer, or some powerful four-wheel drive vehicle, I ain't going to key anybody's car. I'll wait for the guy to come off the elevator and see me push his Beamer right off the top floor of that parking structure, five floors down onto the street. Did you see that? Watch this. This is not an anonymous key job. And I don't leave notes. I'm not the kind of guy that leaves a note on someone's windshield. I don't do that. You know, I'm not going to key somebody's car. I don't do that. I don't need to take out my anger in an anonymous way. Most people do. Most people have these gigs where I guess they get angry and they feel a little powerless, so they place dirty phone calls or they key someone's car or they leave an anonymous note on the windshield of someone's car. I don't do that. I'll wait for the sucker to come out of the building. And if he happens to be larger than me, I'll get back in my car and leave. But are you getting parked here? I can't get parked in that thing. Anyway. And by the way, we're still waiting on our mattress from Larry Miller, but I don't want to say anything about that other than the fact that, let's see, we're going on now 6 months since I asked for this mattress to be replaced, this squeaky, cheap, crappy California King mattress that I got in my house that I used for so long as the launching point of what I felt was a fairly decent pitch on behalf of that guy. And even though, in point of fact, the mattress squeaked, nobody in the house could sleep. I'm talking about a mattress that squeaked so loud, I was waking people up downstairs, across the street, lights going on. So when you get around to replacing that mattress, that'd be a nice thing, Larry. Otherwise, I'll just take it out back and set fire to it, because I think it worked really good as kindling, some kind of something to warm my hands on these approaching cold autumn nights. And last night, I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe because of drinking coffee, I couldn't get to sleep, so I was, you know, I was tossing and turning in bed a little bit. Well, you know, you toss and turn in a good bed, and maybe people hear you, maybe they don't. In my bed, it's like, just as loud and as it's like banshee-like caterwauling, screeching, metal on metal, fingernails on a chalkboard, no oil in the crankcase, loud. Cheap piece of garbage. I won't even mention the manufacturer, because we've been waiting for those clowns. And by the way, they were going to replace the mattress. What they did is they came out, busted my clock radio. These two clowns they sent out there to measure the mattress that we had so they could get a replacement for it. These two morons in the process bust the clock radio, stumble their way out of the house, and we ain't seen hide nor hair of them since. Maybe they ain't got enough jack to replace the price of a $20 clock radio. That could be it. Maybe they're hurting over there. Anyway, so we're waiting for that to be replaced. And, you know, it's going on 6, 7, 8, 9 months now. I'm sure it'll happen sooner or later. When those guys finally show up with the mattress, I'm going to tell them to turn around and go back. It's just been a rotten week, you know. First Jethro Tull, then I can't get parked, and now my mattress. God, I can't wait to get out of this week. You mean it's Tuesday? So I guess I'll start using the valet downstairs, and that's only for me. It's not for you guys. Only the talent gets to use that valet. And you know what? At 7 o'clock, they go home anyway. So by the time I go downstairs, I don't know where my freaking car is. I've had it valeted. They took it from me and parked it. They ain't going to bring it back. So what you do is you pull up, give them the car. They valet it. They park it somewhere. You get out of the building at 7 o'clock, and you got to go look for it. That's service. Okay, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know whether or not you guys know about our Casino Night 2000. Sunday, November the 4th, Casino Night 2000 begins at 7 p.m., and it ends when we all go home, and it is to benefit My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway youth in Hollywood. The Museum of Flying at the Santa Monica Airport is where this is going to take place. Call 323-908-0011, extension 102 for more details.